Since this morning we have another long reading from the Gospel, you might like to sit. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory
A man had two sons, and the younger said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any.
Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here am I, dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father."
While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But his father ordered his servants, "Quickly, bring out the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." Then the celebration began.
Now, the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound." He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf."
He said to him, "My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord. Now you might notice I look a bit colourful this morning, and normally on this Sunday, Mid Sunday Lent, it's called Laetare Sunday, we should strictly speaking be wearing rose coloured vestments, but this being a poor parish, we couldn't afford rose-coloured vestments, so I've done the best I can. I've got a rose-coloured stole, but it looks quite nice, doesn't it? And it does the job quite nicely. Now, a little bit of about today before we get a little bit into the prodigal son, and a little bit I look at the background is the fourth Sunday in Lent. And the fourth Sunday in Lent is known as Mid-Sunday, Mid-Lent Sunday, or Laetare Sunday. And it's also Mothering Sunday. Now you say, oh no, it's not. Oh yes, it is. In most parts of the world, except here in this country, because the day on which you celebrate Mothering Sunday is a fake day. But anyhow, to give you a little bit of history, about that, going way back in the 19th century, when girls left home to work with families and became servant girls, on the fourth Sunday of Lent, Mid Sunday of Lent, those girls were allowed a day off so they could go home and visit their mother, because when Easter came, because the family would all be gather to celebrate Easter, those girls would be busy working for the families wherever they were working and couldn't get home. So that was the origin of Mothering Sunday. And then to go back into this country, way back after the Civil War, a woman called Anna Reeves Jarvis, she got together a number of mothers because she wanted to teach them how to look after their children and how to be good mothers. And that went on for a while. And then in the year 1905, Anne Reeves Jarvis, she died in the year 1905, and her daughter called Anne Reeves, in memory of her mother, tried to get a special day when all mothers would be honored and thanked for what they did. And so she began in the year 1908, 1910, to celebrate Mothering Sunday on the day when her mother died, which was May, the 10th of May. And so that was the origin of how Mothering Sunday came to be celebrated here in this country. And then in the year 1914, the president at that time, who was Woodrow Wilson, established it as a holiday when all mothers would be honored. And that was on the second Sunday of May. So there you are. But all everywhere else in Europe and in England today, is Mothering Sunday, but not here. That's it. Now, right. So now, getting on to the prodigal son, a little bit to the background. There's there's things in the prodigal son that are not mentioned, and sometimes I think it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful story. And somebody said, if Jesus had only spent 3 minutes or 5 minutes telling us the story of the prodigal son rather than 3 years preaching, it would have been more than sufficient, because it summed up the essence of everything Jesus came to tell us. And Lent is a time of really taking a deep look at ourselves. And just like the son this morning, the prodigal son, really saying, what is my life about? Where am I in my life? And what is happening in my life? And are there changes I need to make? Now that's, you know, a good way of looking at. And the essence then of it is God. That there's no need to have any fear of God, because God is all compassion and all love. And to quote that lovely quotation from Jeremiah, and Jeremiah apparently was a miserable so-and-so, but he had this phrase, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That's God speaking to us. I have loved you with an everlasting love. And what's our answer to that? I think a lovely answer would be to give, and I love you too. You know, when somebody says to you, hopefully you say it to your wife every day and 10 times and 100 times a day, I love you. And what does she say to you? Oh, don't be tormenting me. Hopefully she says, and I love you too. And it's a lovely way of returning. So I have loved you with an everlasting love. And so, and then looking at a bit more in, and the other thing about the parable of the prodigal son, and not just the parable of the prodigal son, but because we've heard that so many times before, we almost become saturated with it, and maybe we dismiss it. So I want you to look at it maybe in a different way this morning. And there's other people involved there. A teacher in school was doing the parable of the prodigal son with the children. And children are absolutely great, because I enjoy on the mornings here when the children come over from school. And it's amazing. You ask them little questions, and it's amazing what the answers they come up with. So the teacher went through the parable of the prodigal son. And when she had ended, she said to her little class, now, who was really, really, really annoyed when the bad boy came back home, the son returned? So they were all thinking very seriously. And then one little fella put his hand up and said, yes, she said, yes, Johnny, the fatted calf, because he got it in the neck. Well, well, it's a good answer, yeah. Now, having said all that, I've got a letter here. Pull out of my pocket. Just arrived. And it's a letter of the mother of the prodigal son to her son. And I did do this once before at a reconciliation service, but probably most of you were not here because you had no sins. So it's a slightly different one, and I'd like to read this to you and to a lot to after Mass this morning, when I celebrated the earlier Mass, quite a few people came and said, I am that mother. You know, so now look at your own family for a moment, and especially think of your own sons. And this is what she wrote to her son. My dear son, we got your address from your cousin Isaac. He didn't go into any great detail about your job situation and lifestyle. He He didn't want to upset your father even more. Actually, your father doesn't even know I am writing this. But it being Mother's Day and seeing all the other families together, there's that ache in my heart where you used to be. You have no idea of how much I miss you. As for your father, well, he's just not the same man since you headed off in such a hurry. He gets up early in the morning and he heads out and he goes way up the hills, up to the highest hill, pretending that he has gone to count the cattle and the sheep. But I know it's really to look down the road, hoping that you might get a glimpse of you coming in the distance. I see the tears in his disappointed eyes when he returns. It's not the bad price of cattle or sheep that has him upset. He misses you so much. You know, you men are a strange lot. You feel deeply, but you won't express it. And I know that your father loved you very much, but he wasn't very demonstrative in his love. And maybe he never gave you a hug or told you how much he loved you. But believe me, no man could have loved his son more. I am certain of that, absolutely certain. He talks about you every day as if you were here. And I know he's longing for that day when you might decide to come back. Doesn't matter when. Did I ever tell you about the day you were born? Your father was so excited with a smile the length of the barn door. He ran around telling everybody, "I've got a new son." He couldn't be stopped talking about you. And when he held you in his arms, you should have seen him. There was a smile on his face. No man looked happier in the whole world. Son, if you feel like coming home, we won't say anything cross to you. And I know what it would mean to your father. He would be the happiest man in the whole world. If Isaac's report is correct, you have suffered enough. You don't have to earn our love. You have that love already. I won't plead with you to come home. That must be your decision. But if you do come, it will be the greatest gift you could give to your father and myself, and we will have an almighty celebration. With all our love, your mammy. Isn't that nice? And that sums up in a nice way, because I always thought, and if you look at, it's not up there now, but if you look at, you know, that lovely picture of drawing of the prodigal son, and look at the two hands, there's a female hand there. And sure, it stands to reason, how did the father come to have two sons? There must have been a woman somewhere in the background, unless there was another immaculate conception. So, you know, she played a big part in it, as most mothers do. And a mother's love never ceases. And so it brings in beautifully Our Lady into this morning. And she yearns too for people maybe like ourselves who go astray, lose our way in life. She yearns, just like that mammy in the letter this morning, for us to come back to the Father. And on the 16th of April, on a Tuesday night, we'll have a lovely reconciliation service here, and hopefully for many of you it will be a homecoming, you know, just like we did before. You'll be in and out and on your way home in less than an hour, and like the prodigal son and the family, you'll be full of joy. Amen.